It is so concerning to me that some of the mental health crisis and things like that are coming from a combination of money and lack of desire. So like mm-hmm. when you couple these things together, and this is again, the soul work that you're talking about, because if you've never stepped back and you've never asked yourself or allowed your children to ask themselves, because kids are not created with all these rules like surrounding, mm-hmm. we are creating this construct for them, right? And so if you're not stepping back and asking yourself, okay, so what is it that I feel like is like my highest and best use?
But I think about legacy planning or legacy wealth or generational wealth of like, what are we teaching our children? Like, we literally have a fork 100%. In the road right now. We either get to teach them that money is a beautiful tool and you get to use it in ways and help others, or we get to continue to feel scarce and not that we can't create more of it or we have to hold on to it. Like, there is a decision there for us.
Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified. I am your host, Jack owner Jax Kreider, and today we have Miss Erin on with us, and she is very heavily in the wealth space. I believe that our primary function right now is sort of financial planning and coaching, but I'll let her kind of explain. So welcome, Erin. Tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and why you're excited to be on the podcast today.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm grateful to be here. So I currently help women, typically ones with money and wealth, really transform their relationship with money. They typically have a very, what I call, when they come to see me, a very poverty conscious mentality. Like, they generated their wealth from a lot of fear and hoarding. And so really teaching them, helping them learn how to have and use their money now, and then also create wealth for the future.
I love that. Yeah. And you and I mean, we were talking before the show, I always joke that we should be recording some of that because there's always such great nuggets there. But you and I are super aligned on that, because I definitely think that so many people have not really thought or considered that money and wealth is not just about the numbers. And even though that obviously is a piece of the puzzle, right? It's not like the math, not the math, but there's so many other aspects that people are just not really digging into, diving into. And I feel like they're really missing the boat, and they not only could have and accumulate wealth, but really enjoy it, like on a such a deeper level, if they were willing to sort of align all those pieces.
Yeah. And that's scary, right? Like, I came from the math is the math. You know, my background is in financial planning. I helped run my family's construction business, CFOing for 10 plus years. Like, in my mind, what I call it was very 3D work, right? I knew knowledge. I knew the math equals the math, until I got to a point where, okay, I have all the math and I'm not fulfilled. I'm not enjoying my life.
For sure.
What else is there supposed to be? Because everyone sold me and told me, if you have the houses and you have the vacations and you have the money and you do the thing, you're going to feel fulfilled. And I didn't feel that way. And so, long story short, after getting into coaching, doing some coaching, helping people, then realizing, you know what, I really wanted to take some time off. I had never taken time off. And when I say, like, I was in the masculine, like, I planned my only child's birth around payroll at the time, which is absolutely insane to me to say that. But I give, you know, past Erin so much love and grace, because that's what she knew, right? That's all that she knew. And so 3 months led to basically 3 years of taking time off, using what we had accumulated, not all of it, but, you know, using some of that to actually take some time and enjoy what we had created. Like, every time we got to a certain point, if I always moved the goalpost, when was I actually going to enjoy life? And so that is what I've, you know, been doing over the last 3 years, of really doing some of that deep money work, which I think is soul work. Like, I think money work is just really the relationship that we have with ourselves, what we believe about ourselves,
absolutely,
what we believe that we're capable of. How much do we love ourselves? Because I think we use a lot of my clients, I'm not sure if you feel this way, but I used to use money as a way to beat myself up, right? I would have to earn something to be able to enjoy it. And so I think really, you know, when you start to like really pick apart, it's not just about, like you say, it's not just about the money. It's about everything that the money, that we make money represent, and really starting to dive into that to help others, really help them, like, let's enjoy ourselves. Let's enjoy what we've created. Let's also work on, you know, you've talked in previous podcasts about YOLO. Like, I'm not all like, go spend it all right now. And also, what are we creating all of this money for? You know, a lot of our generation, our parents' generation, decided to generate all this wealth to then give it to us upon passing. But we could probably be enjoying some of that right now. And why aren't we doing that?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's so interesting because so I grew up in a very logical household, and I obviously tell this on many, many episodes of the podcast, but I was made to read Sound Mind Investing in seventh grade. So I knew very distinctly how money operated, how money worked, right? That you should be diligent with it, a good steward of it, all the things. And all those things are super important. And as you and I were discussing beforehand, there's definitely a place in your life where you at least have got to understand the fundamentals. Mm-hmm. We have to sort of start work from somewhere. But I am a very firm believer that self-awareness is so huge. I mean, in money, but pretty much in anything in life, right? Because what I find, and I've just come off of a series of doing a lot of student loan debt conversations around money, because it breaks my heart when I see in my space, in the mortgage space, so many people that are literally crippled by this debt, right? It's like this albatross mm-hmm. around their neck. And oftentimes for a degree they didn't even really want, right? Somebody told them that this is the path to success, or this is what they need to do, or whatever the case may be. And now it's not even really what they wanted. And yeah. So at least if they went and they out and they spent $100,000 getting a degree, and it was something they loved, and they were going to be able to pour in and do all the things they wanted to do, I could at least get on board with that, right? I might not love that for them, right? Because it definitely is going to be something that might be challenging. But you know what? There's definitely ways out of anything. Doesn't really matter how much debt or how little debt you take on, right? You can figure out and crawl out of it. That's not a thing. But it's so concerning to me. I mean, I have people all the time who find out I have a law degree and they say, oh, I want to be an attorney. That's what I want to be. I want to be an attorney. And they are and I say to them, that's awesome. I love that. That's what you want to do. Why do you want to do that? And they look at me and they're like, what do you mean? And I was like, why do you want to do that? Because the usual answer is because their parents wanted them to, right? Because in their mind, that's success. Or two, they make a lot of money. And I start out and tell them, just so you're clear, not all attorneys make a lot of money. There are some who make lots of money, and there are some who make very little money. So don't go in with the adage that oh, I'm going to become an attorney because I'm just going to make gobs and gobs of money. That's not necessarily the place you should probably be coming from.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Imagine having the power to control your financial destiny, no matter where you start. Welcome to the Financial Mastery Simplified course and resource platform, where financial education is tailored to your unique journey. We cover everything you need, from basic budgeting and saving strategies to advanced investing and retirement planning. Learn at your own pace with lessons that match your level of experience. Whether you're a beginner or looking to enhance your financial knowledge, join our community of learners and benefit from shared insights and expert guidance. The Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform equips you with the skills and confidence to take charge of your financial future. Ready to master your finances? Enroll in our courses today at the Financial Mastery Simplified Course and Resource Platform. Start your path to financial independence now.
Visit us at fms.tips and fms.college for more information.
Hello, and welcome to PBJ Mortgage, where your homeownership dreams become reality. Today, we want to share why choosing PBJ Mortgage is the right choice for your home financing needs. At PBJ Mortgage, we're built on a foundation of values that drive us every day. Our commitment to educate, empathize, and empower our clients sets us apart in the mortgage industry. Our clients are at the heart of everything we do, and their success stories speak volumes. With years of experience, our team possesses in-depth knowledge of the mortgage programs, ensuring you receive expert guidance and the best possible rates. We offer a diverse range of loan options to suit your unique needs, including conventional, FHA, VA, and more. No matter your situation, we've got a solution. At PBJ Mortgage, we pride ourselves on providing personalized service. Our dedicated loan officers are here to guide you every step of the way, making the process as smooth as making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. We understand that time is of the essence, which is why we've streamlined our processes for efficiency and convenience. Transparency and clear communication are paramount. You'll always know where you stand throughout your mortgage journey. Reach out to us today to set up a call to discover your options. If you're ready to make your home ownership dreams a reality, contact PBJ Mortgage today. Let us empower you during this exciting journey. Phone number 4-693-733-107, www.pbjteam.com. Visit our website or give us a call to get started. We look forward to helping you secure your future home. PBJ Mortgage, where home begins.
Thanks for your patience.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of heterosuggestions, right? Like everyone is telling us what we should think, be, do, and have. And not many of us are willing to take the time to sit down and ask ourselves, what do we actually want? What actually makes us happy? What do I want to enjoy doing? And I mean, when I think about when our daughter, she's 13 now, but I mean, I funded her education, which again, different consciousness back then, but I funded her education 13 years ago for college. And now I'm like, I'm not paying for your school unless it's actually going to have an ROI. You know, like I think that we have been, you know, I was just talking to a friend yesterday and she's like, the math isn't mathing with my kid going to school and what she's going to get out with debt and what she's going to make. And I'm like, exactly. I'm like, because school has now become a private entity corporation, which that's great. Like it's totally fine. I love capitalism. I love, you know, profitability. And we're not putting our children, you know, the students first, right? It's really a big business mentality. How can we create more profit? Not how can we help these people add more value to the world and help them, you know, create what they want. And so I think with everything, it really starts with like, okay, that is something that someone is suggesting to me, but is that what I want? Is that what I want my life to look like? I mean, even retirement is that way. Who says we should retire? Like, why aren't we doing work that we love? Up until like, I think about, you know, the Betty Whites, and I think about like all of these people that have worked until they basically pass away. Like, I truly believe like our soul wants to expand and to grow. And there is not a timeline. It's not a 65 timeline to where our soul is supposed to expand to. Right. So why are we working towards retirement to then go do something else that we enjoy? Like, why aren't we doing work we love now and impacting now? And that doesn't mean you need to be a mentor. Whatever it is that you enjoy, it is impactful, right? And so really, I think helping our children, you know, this younger generation start to question, like, how could I actually create this without having to go to school? If that is something that you know, and why do I want to do this? Is this a suggestion from someone else or is this truly a heart's desire?
For sure. No, I think you really hit the nail on the head. I mean, it is so concerning to me that some of the mental health crisis and things like that are coming from a combination of money and lack of desire. So like when you couple these things together, and this is again, the soul work that you're talking about, because if you've never stepped back and you've never asked yourself or allowed your children to ask themselves, because kids are not created with all these rules like surrounding, we are creating this construct for them, right? And so if you're not stepping back and asking yourself, okay, so what is it that I feel like is like my highest and best use, right? Like what is it that really wakes me up or whatever? Because the truth is we are pretty powerful beyond measure. And there's a lot of jobs and things that you could be pretty exceptional at, but that doesn't necessarily mean you want to be super exceptional at that, right? Just because you can be doesn't necessarily mean that it is. But if you find that thing that wakes you up, that says, oh my gosh, look, this is amazing, then what you find is that the money does find you. The money does come, right? But when we're forcing ourselves into these boxes because society has told us that we have to, because somebody in our lives that had an important nature, right, like our parents or grandparents, our teachers or somebody like this told us, I mean, that's just not necessarily honestly a good look. Like if you look at the people who have the most money hand over fist, like in society, most of them did not inherit it. If you really strip it back, most of it was self-created. And it was self-created out of something that lit them up, right? I mean, this is something that they're like, oh, this is really cool. I really like this. And they went all in. If that doesn't literally speak to the human condition, the fact that that's power. The problem is if you're not tapping it, if you're not looking at it that way and saying, because I agree with you. People ask me all the time, like, oh, you're creating all these things. Is that because, you know, you want to make a lot of money and so you can retire? And I'm like, nope. I'll never retire. Like, I will be working until you put me in the ground. And they're like, really? I mean, personally, biblically, it's actually not in the Bible to retire. If you run that bent, don't run that bent, and that's perfectly fine, then I understand that your brain actually starts decaying, like from a biological sense, when you stop pushing it and having iterations and moving forward. Yeah. And so you literally are doing yourself a disservice. Now, again, why, to your point, why do you want to retire? Probably because whatever it is you're doing, you hate.
Yeah. I think, you know, we've taught our bodies. I mean, I know several people, we've taught our bodies after retirement, next step, death. That's literally what we're teaching our bodies. And you're saying, you know, the brain, it's the brain and the body. It's like, what's after and what are you looking forward to? You know, like my parents are currently retired. My dad sold his business. And the conversations that they have with me are not expansive. It is like, what doctor's appointment am I going to? You know,
what TV my program dad is on TV this day?
You know, my dad is, he is playing piano and he is learning guitar. But I asked him the other day, I'm like, would you ever just consult? Now he has lots of thoughts and ideas around time and money. And so there's that I recognize. But I mean, if you think about it, at 60, you're like at your peak, I think, about like the knowledge that you have, the impact. Absolutely. That you, I mean, not to say that you're not at 30 or 40. I'm just saying, like, think about the amount of wealth of knowledge that you have to give back
experience
to the world. Like, we're just getting started, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think a lot of it, I mean, I've come from the financial world. I let my CFP go on purpose because I do not agree with a lot of the in the box way of thinking. And, you know, I really pondered that for a bit, but I was like, you know what? I can't sit here and knowingly tell someone something because I am bound by these rules and regs when I know that there are other ways to think about this. And so I think with, you know, what you're suggesting with the world as well, it's like, we're taught to go to college. Well, who suggested that? Like, where did all of this come from and who is benefiting from it? And absolutely, you really kind of have to, I mean, I've kind of gone down those rabbit holes a little bit of like, where is this really about? And so I think like what you're saying is it always comes back to, and like I said, not many people are willing to. Are you willing to stop getting on Instagram? Are you willing to turn off YouTube? Are you willing to sit with yourself without your phone and be still? You don't have to start with 30 minutes. You don't have to start meditating all of a sudden, but like 5 minutes a day, are you willing to take out a pen and a piece of paper and ask yourself, what do you love? What do I enjoy doing? What lights my soul on fire? And you know what? If the answer is, I don't know initially, it's okay. Cause that was my answer as well. But I had to create space in my day and in my life to let the answers come to me. And that doesn't happen by being so proud that you have a fully booked schedule and that you're racing from every event and that you are so busy and all of the other narratives that we have taken on to prove ourselves worthy.
Absolutely.
Stay tuned. We'll be back right after this message from our sponsors.
Welcome to Financial Mastery Simplified, your go-to podcast for making smart money decisions. We break down complex financial topics into easy-to-understand advice you can use every day. Our experts cover everything from budgeting and saving to investing and retirement planning. We give you the tools to take control of your money and build the future you want. With Financial Mastery Simplified, you'll feel informed and empowered to make the best choices for your financial health. Tune in to Financial Mastery Simplified on your favorite podcast platform. Start your journey to financial confidence today.
Visit us at fms.tips. and fms.college for more information.
Welcome to House U, where we believe in the power of education. At House U, we're more than just a brand. We're your partner in home ownership, dedicated to educating, equipping, and empowering you every step of the way. Education is at the heart of everything we do. We offer comprehensive resources designed to make home ownership simple and accessible for all. From understanding mortgage options to mastering home maintenance, House U provides the knowledge you need to make informed decisions with confidence. We host workshops and seminars, bringing together experts and community members to share insights and build a stronger, more informed community. Because when you're educated, you're empowered. House U, home ownership made simple for all.
Visit our website or contact us today to start your journey with HouseU. Empower yourself with knowledge and embrace the joy of home ownership.
Thanks for your patience. Now back to our conversation.
No, and I think that so often, you know, to your point where you're talking about people, you know, racing around, I think that you can either take the time and step back and choose to be intentional on your own accord, aka you're going to sit there and you're going to say, okay, what is it that I want, you know, outside of my family, outside of all these other people, right? This, all this noise that is being created, what do I want? Or your brain or your body will force you to.
100%.
Because it is coming for you, right? Whether it be in a mental breakdown, a heart attack, you know, some big life alteration, right? Your industry shifting and now you're laid off and like, what the heck am I going to do now, right? Like something is going to create the ripple. So your choice, because I talk about intentionality a lot, your choice is that you can step back and you can choose to be intentional in your own way and on your own time. And when you're not rushed, or you will get forced to at some point, right? And if you aren't forced to up to retirement, then in retirement, in my opinion, you're going to unfortunately reap the results of that, which is going to unfortunately probably be negative, which is in my mind really sad. And it doesn't matter how successful you were. If you didn't find true joy and fulfillment in whatever task it is that you were performing, whatever job you were doing, then yes, like I said, at some point, and I'll give you a perfect example. So in my space, in mortgage, I don't know if any of you have ever seen the funny meme. There's this meme that's like a super old guy. And it says, what do you mean stressed? I'm 30 and I feel great. And the guy is like 90 years old in the meme. Okay. And so it's a big joke because our space is very stressful. We deal with a lot of emotions of people. We deal with a lot of moving pieces. I jokingly say that it's like herding cats. It's like a mini circus happening behind the scenes that we're running around like a crazy person or whatever. And if you don't really step back and take time for yourself, if you don't, you know, find your purpose, because when our industry slowed a couple of years ago, I just start asking myself, why is it I did this in the first place, right? Mm-hmm. Like, because I genuinely like mortgage, but I couldn't tell you on its face why I liked it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what is it about mortgage that I like? And so I started stripping it down. I started asking myself hard questions. It's why I started expanding out my business, because I started asking myself, okay, more than just, you know, yes, it makes me a fair bit of money or whatever, but it is a stressful job and it does have components that are not always super fun. Like I can do everything right. I can do all of the work and not be paid if the loan doesn't close, right? Like mm-hmm. that's stressful and not fun. But I like helping people financially succeed. And I like helping people get to the place that they want to be in life. And so that's where the expansion came of the podcast, of the programs that I offer and things like this to sort of help the expansion of people and succeed on a deeper level. But if you're not going to step back and do that hard work, guess what? Life's coming for you and it's going to force you to, I promise.
Yeah. I think there's a book. I think Gabor Mate has written it. Have you read it? It's like When the Body Says No. It's basically—
No, but I've heard of it.
All about that. It's like either nice. You're going to elect to, or your body will do it for you.
For sure.
And if you are in a why is this happening to me world or perception versus everything is happening for me, you might Correct. Be looking at it. You may not be able to take from it what you actually need to, because you're thinking, why is this happening to me? But your body is stepping in because you aren't doing that for yourself. And I think that is one of the most loving things that our body can do, right? It's like, no more.
For sure.
We're not people pleasing anymore. We're not going to do this. We're doing it a different way. And so when I first read that, I mean, I noticed when I was working for, you know, my family's construction business, I would get bronchitis probably 4, 5, 6 times a year. And now I've always considered myself healthy, but those kinds of things would crop up. And it was because I was pushing myself too much. It was because I was tired. I wasn't resting. And, you know, we don't live in, at least in the Western world, we don't live in a world that values, like how often when you call your friend up, do they say, when you ask, how are you? They're like, oh, I'm fantastic. You know, I have had so much rest. I love my kids. Everything is going amazing. Like we don't normalize this type of language in our culture. Like we pride ourselves on very limited time to ourselves, very limited time in the day. Look at what we've done. And I mean, this has been my journey. So I'm not sitting over here saying like, this is what people experience and this is not. I mean, this has been my journey over the last 5 or 6 years of like finding my worth out of in everything outside of me, whether it be from employees or wealth or, you know, business, whatever it is. I did not know this, but I was externally trying to find that feeling of inadequacy. I was trying to create adequacy within from the outside, and that's not how it works, right? And so when we slow down, when we really start to get connected with ourselves again, like what you say, like I think we are ultimately, we have always been connected to God.
For sure.
We just have, or he has always been within us, right? We have just become disconnected because of all of this other stuff. And so getting quiet, getting still, being with ourselves, what do we want our life to look like 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now? And it may not look like the guy next door. And we need to stop trying to keep up with Jonesy over here. And we need to say like, what actually brings my heart such love and satisfaction and joy? And it's okay if it's not the big house. It's okay if it's not the Ferrari. It's okay if, you know, it's like I had a client the other day, both two of them actually, and they were making comments about women that have like Fendi or Louis Vuitton bags. And I said, you're judging money. Just because you wouldn't doesn't mean that it's an issue that they do. But just notice where you're blocking money because you are judging what someone else does and you wouldn't do it. So just notice when we are blocking receiving abundance because we think that, well, I wouldn't want that. It's like, well, maybe I wouldn't want that purse, but I would totally accept that level of travel. So bring it to me, you know? And so I think it's really, really starting to pick apart as well. What are our money stories? What have we grown up around? What are we judging? What do we think that, you know, wealth is supposed to look like? What do we think financial freedom, you know, like I was taught financial freedom is having, here you go back to the very beginning, math, it's a number. But I know for myself and my clients and other people I've talked to all around the world, financial freedom is a felt sense in the body. Does it absolutely help to have a lot of money? Of course, it's a lot more fun to have money.
Of course.
But there's a lot of people that have a lot of money and they don't feel financially free.
Absolutely. No, I completely and totally agree with you. Like, I think that people believe that abundance is not for them. There is, you know, I talk a lot about the RAS, the reticular activating system, and how it is looking for safety. And so a lot of times there's a scarcity piece that comes from that. If you're not training it to look for the abundance that we want to seek, right? If you, we are not naturally seeking that piece out. And the truth of the matter is that if you don't seek out abundance, if you don't dig deep, if you aren't looking for those things, right? Because again, to your point, success doesn't have to look the same for everybody. Cause I feel the same way for a very long time. I think that, I was like, oh, really expensive purses. Like, who would want to own that? Like, I was just happy, you know, with whatever. And then as I sort of expanded out or whatever, I do actually like really expensive purses. Not that I necessarily, well, and then I realized because I like to change purses a lot, I was like, this is a little bit maybe too rich for my blood because I can't exactly. So I kind of found a way to shift that. And so I think a lot of times people, again, have to step back and they just have to be asking themselves hard questions. Because there is no one right way. And it's really hard because I think that people are taught and are trained because I think it's easier for people to understand if we just give you some big bright line rule. Like it's kind of a joke. If you watch any of my podcast episodes or even any of my reels, when I give you an answer, even about mortgage, my answer actually is it depends. And if you go to law school, it's a joke. That's what they teach you. The answer is two. And why do they teach you that? Because when you look at the law, any law you read is not bright line. There is gray there. And also such is life. But people are so hell-bent on wanting something, what they think is super simple. Because you know, if it's just this bright line rule and it's just, well, the math is the math. And so this is my number and exactly what I have to hit and blah, 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 blah. It's easier to wrap your brain around that. And we were talking pre-show a little bit about how a lot of people go in and they're so hell-bent on trying to get to a certain place. They're not stepping back and knowing that each phase, it serves you a certain way, right? And so your job isn't necessarily to go from 0 to 100, because I think we're also putting that stress on ourselves. and that's a lot of overwhelm, right? Like, you don't have to look and say, well, Erin, that's great for you. I'm glad you were able to take 3 years off and figure out your stuff. But I'm over here just trying to make ends meet and I'm living paycheck to paycheck and I don't have the luxury to step back. I actually wrote a post this morning about micro shifts, that it's not about you having to step into your power and to do every single thing perfectly. Because I used to feel that way. I come from a household where perfection is a standard. And so in my mind, if I could not do it perfectly, I needed to go down the 8 million rabbit holes to make sure that the perfect formula existed before I started down the path. And then I started realizing the last 2 years, I don't have time for the perfect formula. Like, my life is chaotic and a hot mess because of some situations that are a little bit outside of my control. I just am going to have to take one step forward. And the beautiful part is when you start to force yourself down that path, that intentional path, you find that your life becomes 10 times better and you will start getting to where you need to be because you are being intentional with the baby step forward.
Yeah. I always say 0 to 1% is everything, because we want to go, like you say, 0 to 100, but 0 from no motion to something is everything, right?
Absolutely.
Like, that is everything. And we have, like you say, we have been taught once again that it's really all the other stuff. And to the person that might say, well, that's great for you, Erin, you know, I don't have that. I want you to just open your mind to where you think it's not possible for you. I didn't start off with, you know, I didn't start off with like, I'm going to take 3 years off. I started off with, I'm going to stop actually working and go sit down in my kitchen table and eat my lunch and not answer any employee phone calls. That's where I started. Yep. I started with, let me go walk around the block, because I would get so resentful with my husband when he would tell me he would go outside when he was working. And I remember saying, well, it must be nice for you to go, you know, enjoy the sunshine, right? But I was creating that myself. So I started with a walk around my neighborhood block, a quarter of a mile, and eating lunch for 15 minutes in my kitchen table. So we all start somewhere. And so I think it's so easy to say, well, like, I mean, that could be somebody who, you know, like the spread feels too far, but exactly what Jax is saying, what is your 1%? What is your next step? Like, that's what I had to ask myself. What is my uncomfortable? Oh, my uncomfortable is to turn my phone off. And when an employee calls and I don't answer, I'm going to feel the shame and the guilt that I feel in my body, because I'm going to process this and stop letting shame and guilt drive my decisions. That's where I had to start. And so I think it's different for everyone. We all have what is our 1%? And when we start comparing ourselves to everyone else, like, I think about law of relativity, compare yourself to yourself yesterday, to yourself 5 years ago.
Yes.
Do not compare yourself to somebody else, because that is not a helpful thing to do. Now, you can look at someone else and you can say, they're doing it, so I know it's possible for me, because we all come from the same source. That's a helpful thought or belief. But to say, oh, so-and-so's doing it, I can't, not helpful in getting you to where you want to go. So think about, how far have you come? Think about where you were 6 months ago, where you want to go. Like, stay in your own lane and stop using, because I do this even still sometimes. I look at other people, I'm like, no, we're not doing that. If you're going to look at somebody else, you're going to look at it to what is possible for you, not from what you are not creating currently in this moment.
Yeah. Comparison can definitely be a huge challenge. I mean, one of my coaches told me, not only are you not the same person as that other person, you're not even on the same path. You're on your own unique path. And so like, comparing any of it, even if you're from the same family, like, it's like comparing apples to oranges. And so, you know, why? Also, I'm going to challenge, if you're looking at other people and let's say you're being envious or, oh, you know, this or that or whatever, a lot of times I then force myself to step back and say, okay, why am I feeling that way? Yeah. Is that something that I even want? And if it is something that I want, okay, cool. Like, how do I get there in my own unique way, right? In a way that makes sense to me, because I was telling Erin the story of my brother. My brother and I are very different people. And some of you who listen to the show know that. My brother is what I like to call a minimalist, and I am most definitely what I like to call a maximalist. And we were on vacation one day and he said, hey, Jax, so do you think that you ever could own like 4 pairs of pants? And I'm like, in each color or total? And he's like, no, total. And I was like, nope, absolutely not. Because that's just not how I experience the world. And I love, though, that my brother knows that about himself, right? He knows that him owning four pairs of pants, like, he's good there. And that is something that he's good with. And so again, this comparison thing, if he's now comparing himself to me, then he has to ask himself, well, why am I comparing myself? Is it because maybe mom, like, was making some comparisons between me and Jackson, so that's making me feel like I don't have enough or whatever? Or is it because maybe I'm not as much of a minimalist as I thought I was, and I now need to lean into the feeling of, like, maybe in this new phase of my life, like the next kind of step, I do want to own a few more pairs of pants or whatever. Like, that's a really kind of silly way to illustrate the point. But the truth is we all do have such unique needs and paths. And it's why we have to be really careful also when we are speaking to our own children, when we're speaking to our own family members, when we are speaking to our friends, that we're not spinning up in them this negativity, right? Like, we're supposed to be the system of support. And so as opposed to doing what we all kind of naturally want to do, which is judge and be like, Richard, you're crazy. Like, why would you only want to own four pairs of pants? Like, you're nuts. Instead, I have to say, you know what? Good for him. Good for him that that's what he wants and that he's good with it and that he stepped into that philosophy. And, you know, that is his path, right? He's being intentional with his path. Because I think that a lot of times, too, that's another part of what sparks a lot of our comparison or the negative emotional stuff that comes up surrounding wealth and money is that judgment from those that are in our very immediate circle. Because we care a little less about the people that, you know, we don't know or whatever, you know, but like our immediate family, like that's hard.
Yeah. I think one of the things I've really learned about judgment is, like, when I have judged others, it's a judgment on myself, right? Like, 100%. There is something that is within me that is creating that. And back to our children, you know, I think that I kind of have gone, like, I had a mother who in maybe wasn't as, I know that she loves me. I know that she cares about me, but when I was growing up, she didn't have that capacity to show that. And so when I had my daughter, I kind of went all the way over to the other side of, like, all the love, all the, you know, like, always there, all that. And it's like, okay, but we can be in the middle. Like, where is that happy medium? And I think that, you know, the brain always wants to go to this all or none, but it's like, we can hold both at the same time, right? Richard can be someone who maybe he only does four pairs of pants, but maybe he has a whole bunch of tools in his garage or something like that, right? And so the brain is always trying to, like, this or that, all or none, versus, like, where is the middle? What is feels good for me? And honoring that. And I think with our children as well, of, like, being very aware of, I always like the emotion of curiosity, because there is no really room for judgment when we're in curiosity. And so with our children, not forcing our beliefs on them of getting curious. And I think that they're some of our greatest teachers, you know, so getting curious, what are they wanting? Why are they, you know, for a long time, you know, my daughter, I felt very activated by her and her constantly asking me for things and wanting. And because I had within me, I had a very scarce mindset, right? So every time she would ask for something, you know, that would trigger that scarce mentality that I had within myself. And so instead of telling her to stop asking, right, to stop wanting, I needed to go within and I needed to say, like, she's just being a total, you know, of who we came here to be, right? And so where is it that I need to work on myself so that I can show up for her in a more abundant, you know, way versus, and that doesn't mean I say yes to everything that she wants. It also means that I haven't been as activated as I used to be when she asked for things, because she's asking for what she wants. And that is unfiltered. Like what I recognize is I was growing up, and why did I become minimalistic? Because every time I asked for something, I was told it's too expensive. You can't have that. So some of our minimalistic, and I'm air quoting for those of you listening, some of our minimalistic tendencies might be coming from, I got in trouble every time I asked. So here we go back to, what is it that you actually want to have? And are you allowing yourself to have it?
So my second book, which will probably, I'm a little delayed on it, but a couple of months out, is called Ask the Question. And it's about the power of intellectual curiosity. But curiosity, I mean, it is a complete and utter superpower. And I reference that we need to go back to the curiosity of children, mm-hmm. because that is literally our highest and best self, this unfettered example, right? And so a lot of times when I'm talking to people and we're trying to uncover blocks, or we're trying to figure out like what's holding them back or why they don't feel as successful as they could feel or whatever, a lot of times I go back and I start asking them about their childhood and about what they were curious about. What are they like? What do they dislike? Right? Like all these other things. What are some of their natural instincts and things of that sort? Because, you know, those of you who have children, like look at the way that they view things. I mean, my daughter literally walks outside every night and is like, the moon. And it's like the first time she's ever seen it, right? Like what was the last time you walked outside and you were like, the moon? Oh my gosh, it's amazing. But it is, it's that curiosity. And when you learn to tap it inside of yourself, when you learn to start allowing and not shaming, yes. the self-awareness, right? And I know, I mean, maybe some of you grew up in different households than I did, but Erin, it sounds like you and I may have grown up in a very similar household. My mom, it's like we were only allowed to have feelings for a very brief bit. And then we flip back to logic, right? It's like, yeah. if I got upset and I was crying about something, it was like, okay, you got hurt. I'm so sorry you got hurt. You know, you cried for a second. Okay, now let's move on. Like, let's get out of the feeling or whatever. And I'm not one who believes in totally wallowing in your feelings and allowing your feelings to take hold and just run everything, because sometimes emotions are not logical, not regulated. Like they can have a little bit of disparaging information if you're not very careful, right? Yeah. But I do think that sometimes you just need to sit and be like, okay, I'm having this feeling. Like why is this conjuring up? Like what's bubbling up? Why is it bubbling up? Right. And if you grew up in a household where that wasn't a thing, where you were told that wasn't a thing, when you first start doing it, guess what? It's going to feel really uncomfortable. You are going to want to move so quickly to logic like that, and you're not going to want to sit there. And it is hard, but it's super necessary, because you're never going to find the wealth and the financial freedom you seek and the financial mastery you seek without doing it, without sitting in the uncomfortable and saying, okay, I'm here now. Why am I here? Why am I comparing and saying, well, Erin has this, why don't I have that, or whatever the case, you know what I mean? You will never, you'll just never see that point to the fullest extent like you could.
Yeah. I used to be what I always call so in my head, right? Because I was taught growing up, I was, air quotes, too sensitive. And so I learned to shut that down. And so like when I first met my husband that I'm married to now, like he would almost like say it in a prideful way. Like my wife never cries. Like he would come home and he would talk about all these wives crying. And he's like, Erin never cries. Well, I never cried because I had shut off all of my emotions, right? Like yep. I didn't have that skill set. So I've had to work through that. But now I realize like my sensitivity is my superpower. I feel energy. I feel what people are feeling. And it is yep, a beautiful too. Thing that I am able to do, right? I sense things, and we create our life through our feelings. And so when we really start to get, you know, like out of the logic, like that is how we, I even shouldn't say create, because everything has already been created. We just manifest it, right? Like we just bring it into the physical existence, the 3D plane. And we do that through our feeling. And so when we have tapped off, which I have been, right? I have been in the masculine so much. And I was creating everything or manifesting everything from a very forcing, pushing reality versus being in the vibration of someone who already has that in that frequency and allowing it to come to you. It feels so much better. And I wouldn't say without effort, but much more effortless and easeful. The other thing I wanted to say is our imagination, because I think like you're talking about your daughter, like that is something we don't use very often as adults, right? Like somewhere along the way, probably a lot of us got told that we were silly. Like we were at the pool the other day and there was this little boy and he was 4 years old and he was talking about his shark fin. And like he becomes a shark after everyone goes home. And he was telling me about his dorsal fin. Now, probably Aaron 4 or 5 years ago would have thought like, what is this kid talking about? But he's using his, this is what we need to do, right? And as adults, we have shut this down, but like, imagine yourself, dream again. Like, what do you want? And I think for me, and I'm not sure if you have felt like this, Jax, or your listeners, but like, I almost had the belief, I did have the belief, it was like, why? What's the point? It's not going to happen. And so I just stopped allowing myself to dream and imagine versus living in our imagination and then allowing all of these, what people would call synchronicities, but really it's just you're matching, right? That vibration to come to you in these ways versus this pushing, forcing masculine energy.
So it's weird. For some odd reason, the one thing that never got shut off about me was dreaming. And I think part of that is that because even though my mom, and here's the crazy part, I don't actually think that she is as logical as she is. Like,
same with my mom. Yep.
I think that, again, she grew up in a very strict German household where logic was the only way. And her parents were both products of the Depression. And her mom grew up in like war torn Germany, was like running into underground bunkers and stuff when bombs are going off in Germany, like crazy stuff. Like my oma met Hitler a couple of times. Like, that is actually a true story. Like, shook his hand more than once. Crazy, you know, out of this box stuff. And so I think that part was always my mom. But the one part of her she would sort of kind of let out was the dreamer, right? And that she's interior design, like that's her craft. And so I think maybe she needed a little bit of it for that. So that sort of gave her a little license to sort of lean in. And I can always tell you, it was so embarrassing. We would go to like Disneyland and like the fireworks would be going off and she and her friend would be like cheering for the fireworks and like, right? Like that very dreaming kind of mentality. But you're right. There's so many people who don't let themselves do it. And it's kind of sad. So there's this book that my daughter loves. It came from Hooked on Phonics, but I looked at the copyright last night because I was genuinely curious because I was like, I think this is an old book, right? And it was from the 70s and it's called The Cereal Box. And it's about how this little boy and his mom go to the store and they get cereal and they come home and then they go the next morning and they're all eating cereal. And mom's eating the one with flakes and dad's eating the one that like crunches or something. And he's eating the fun one, the green one or something is like what it says, right? And then all these things keep coming out of his cereal box, these imaginary things. And at one point in the book, it says, I wish adults could see what I see or something to that effect. And that's exactly the thing, right? Like, yeah, okay, we know that, you know, imagination, there are some things that are probably like, you know, you're never going to have a monster coming out of your cereal box. But like, without the dream, without the imagination, without the thought, like without leaning into that, you're never going to reach your full potential. You're never going to pull that out and like really stretch it. And again, true financial mastery is coming from stepping into your highest and best use. Mm-hmm. Like that is what it is. And so everybody wants it to be, right? Everybody just wants to go to the guru, like the Dave Ramsey's and the Suze Orman's and be like, okay, so if I just do this pre-checklist of stuff, then I'm going to get to freedom. And the truth is, you probably will get to whatever dollar amount you've set out, right? Because not only, first of all, were you intentional about it, you decided that you were going to follow steps, and that was the thing, okay? So like, if that is the version of success you're looking for, absolutely, the regular old gurus will work for you. They will allow you to get to success at that level. The problem is, for most people, I feel like for women specifically, they don't feel fulfillment like that. It needs to be 5D fulfillment. It needs to be emotional and spiritual and intellectual and. And I actually think for our male counterparts, it's the same. They just have been programmed since birth that emotion does not exist for them, that they're not allowed to show that or share that or any of that, even more so than some women. And so they just don't. Like they feel like they can find fulfillment other ways. And so therefore they're just not going to lean into the 5D. But really, really, if you are leaning in, I feel like that it has to be that way. That's the only true, real way you get what you're looking for.
I'm like, preach. Yes, absolutely. Like that. I think that, and I have always had amazing relationships with men. Like I think those two, you know, construction and financial planning is it may have changed, but it's very, very male dominated. And so I am very familiar and natural and enjoy being around men. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, like having coached men and been around so many men, like I see it, right? Here we go back to that sensitivity. I see it. It's, are they allowed to express it and be who they truly are? And I think you hit the nail on the head. Like that is what we have been taught. Men are supposed to go out and hunt and do all of the things and not cry and keep it all together. And women, you know, and I know we, that is all changing and has changed, and maybe it's gone all the way over to the other side a little bit too, right? Like here, we got to go back to the middle. Right, but exactly. I do think a lot of men don't feel safe. I know I didn't to feel their emotions. And the more that we normalize it, the more that we talk about it, the more that we, you know, a number is just a number. Like when people would always say, oh, it, you know, it feels like $1 million. It's like, I got $1 million and I don't think it feels like $1 million. Right. That was my, you know, perception, right? Because I thought $1 million wasn't enough. So I was coming from a very lack-based place, but to just think that money is going to create the feelings, it's a fallacy. You know, it is a beautiful tool. It allows us to do so many different things that we want to do. It is a beautiful amplifier, right? If you are a generous person, you're just going to give more. If you're Scrooge McDuck, you're just going to hold on to it tighter. It does nothing for us in that, like, it has no control, right? We are the ones that maneuver or, you know, make it do what we wield it in the way that we want to use it. And I think that for more women, for us to step into having more wealth and enjoying it, because I think that there is this disconnect a little bit of like, we see a lot of people who have generated a lot of wealth, maybe in the male dominated industry, but they have done it by kind of, you know, not paying people well and stepping on people to get to where they want. And so as women, we look at that and be like, oh, we don't want to be like that. And we don't have to be. We get to create our own version of what we want to have and how we want to, you know, help others in the world and make an impact. It doesn't have to look like that. Like we get to create our own way. And I think that the more women that can step into that, that can like allow ourselves to be our biggest, brightest version. Because I also think, you know, the financial planning industry talks so much about legacy planning from a generational wealth, like from a physical financial standpoint. But I think about legacy planning or legacy wealth or generational wealth of like, what are we teaching our children? Like we literally have a fork 100%. In the road right now. We either get to teach them that money is a beautiful tool and you get to use it in ways and help others, or we get to continue to feel scarce and not that we can't create more of it or we have to hold on to it. Like there is a decision there for us. And to empower our children to generate their own wealth, to have their own wealth, to use it, to circulate, to move through the world, I think is such a beautiful way if you're willing to do that work, that deep soul work, to do that.
Oh, I know, I agree. And really briefly before we go, because I know we're running out of time, but I will say that the other thing that I will speak to women specifically about is the container for wealth, because a lot of times I find, and me specifically, so I will speak to myself in saying that we do not create a large enough container, because either we are afraid to eclipse people like our husbands or in my case, even my mom, like I was a little bit afraid. Like when I started doing some really deep psychosomatic work, I started realizing, oh crap, part of the reason that I haven't wanted to be as successful as I wanted to be is because I was afraid to financially eclipse my mother, right? And so I wasn't allowing that container to grow bigger and broader because I was afraid. And so as women, you know, we have to understand that literally the only thing limiting you is you. I understand that there's a lot of pressures coming from outside sources and outside places, but you do get to allow your container to grow. You do get to allow yourself to do the work, to feel the emotions, to allow yourself to step into that. And men too, right? Because men can do the exact same thing. Men can limit themselves based on the success of their father, right? Or whoever it is that they were basing the success level on. And so just understand that this is why you have to do the self-work. If you don't do the self-work, if you don't step into that place, then yes, arguably by the world standards, you 1,000% can be successful. Okay. But if you notice, my platform is not called financial success. My platform is called financial mastery simplified, right? Because mastery, is the difference in that, right, is that Mastery means that mind, body, soul, that it is complete, right? It feels good. It feels complete. And so you aren't just looking for success if you're listening to my podcast, because you know that you can go to any guru and just follow their things. You're coming to me because you know that it doesn't feel right. That yes, you're following their rules, but they just don't apply to you. And that's okay. Aaron and I are both giving you permission that it's okay. It doesn't have to apply to you. Their rules don't have to apply to you. You can just step into your own. And so, Aaron, last thoughts, as well as I think you have a free offer. So I'll kind of let you wrap us up and we'll head out.
I just think that we are so powerful beyond what we have ever been told or imagined. And here you go back to the 0 to 1%, like just start dreaming again, just start imagining what it is that you want and just let those little breadcrumbs continue to take you where you want to go and trust your intuition, trust yourself more than anybody or anyone else. That is probably what I would say.
Yes. And tell us about the offer really quickly.
Yes. So they can watch my four part workshop series where I talk a little bit, if you have your human design chart, or you can just go get it on my website. But I created just a 4-part workshop series where you really start to tap into your intuition again, making decisions, trusting yourself, stop outsourcing decision-making to our mentors and our advisors, and really start to lean in and trust your intuition.
I love that. Well, and human design was a really big piece for me of helping me understand that a lot of the things that I felt like and I thought were broken are not broken. And so for those of you who don't have an understanding or have ever dived into what that is or what that looks like, I definitely highly encourage you to go seek that out via Aaron's website or otherwise, just because it really will be life-changing for you. So hopefully you found this episode of Financial Mastery Simplified helpful. And we look forward to seeing you again next week on another episode of Financial Mastery Simplified.